Good morning and welcome to Friday morning, April the 12th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we come to the end of Year B, the third Sunday in Easter, and on the Friday of the week, we'd like to take a look at the gospel passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. As they were saying this, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." They were terrified and alarmed and thought they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you so disturbed?" he said. "Why do these questionings come up in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet. It is really me, myself. Touch me and see. Ghosts don't have flesh and bones like you can see I have." With these words, he showed them his hands and feet. While they were still in disbelief and amazement from sheer joy, he said to them, "Have you got something here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish, which he took and ate in front of them. Then he said to them, "This is what I was talking to you about when I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms had to be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Bible. "This is what is written," he said, "the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day. And in his name, repentance for the forgiveness of sins must be announced to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses for all of this." This is a word of God for us. So in the nick of time before I push record, a friend of mine, Trish, who's also a friend of the When I Rise podcast, she had me track down an article from Christianity Today that was written by the late Eugene Peterson in March of 1972. It's called Resurrection Quartet. So if you're a subscriber to the digital version of CT, you can find it. But he takes a look at all four accounts of the Gospels of the Resurrection, and he gives some comment on them. And this is, man, almost, what is this, 50 years old? 40 some odd years old? I mean, that's crazy. So it's a great article to learn about the resurrection from. And this is what he says about Luke's account of the resurrection. He says, "Luke's account of the resurrection is the longest of the four. He includes more material and expands it more thoroughly than the other gospel writers. He wants us to understand the resurrection. He develops his material in a manner designed to expand our imagination so it can take in the immense scope of the resurrection. The resurrection, in other words, is comprehensive. It takes the scattered pieces of man's historical, religious, cultural life and puts them all together." It's one of the neat features of Luke's gospel. It happened at the beginning of the story, carries over to the end here. Luke puts all these eyewitnesses shoulder to shoulder, and they begin to tell their stories, right? So we got the story of the women at the tomb. We got the story of the pilgrims walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus in Luke's gospel. And then we've got the disciples in a room where Jesus kind of shows off his new resurrection body, right? He appears to be a ghost, but they get to touch his hands and his feet like somebody would touch a normal human body. And then he eats some fish, and the food doesn't fall through him as if he were like some sort of a phantom body, like it probably would have done so. So neat little features there. But we shouldn't get swept away by these things, even though those things are important. I mean, everybody's head's spinning. They're trying to figure out, how is this possible that Jesus is back, right? And the ancient audience would have been just as perplexed. And so those little things are neat. But the thing that is repeated in the resurrection narratives of Luke is Jesus explaining from Israel's ancient scriptures that Jesus was going to suffer and he's going to be raised, right? So he's already tried this on to the B team disciples between Jerusalem and Emmaus in the narrative before this. And then Jesus does this for his disciples. He talks about how in all the scriptures, all these things are being fulfilled. This is carried over in Paul's writing. Paul talks about the gospel twice. He talks about the gospel being according to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15. And he also talks about the gospel being something not told to him by human teachers, but by divine revelation. And I got this from James D.G. Dunn, a great Pauline scholar, who says this is the two sides of the coin of the gospel. It is both a tradition and as revelation. It's a tradition. It's something that we should be anticipating. It's been written in the pages of the Bible, and we just need to have more of an understanding of the pages of the Bible, right? So that's the tradition. On the other side, it's a revelation. It's an uncovering. It's something that we couldn't find laying around on the ground, or it wouldn't be something that we totally would catch through a lifetime of teaching and preaching, but it's something that's unveiled, that God gives us personally as those who walk with him. And I think this is what, in a narrative way, Luke is doing here. He's saying, yeah, Jesus is able to, you know, teach a sermon, give a TED talk about the pages of the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures. But it's also something that they're witnessing like in an unveiling all at once, and they're stunned. I loved how this translation talked about this in verse 41. It says, while they were still in disbelief and amazement from sheer joy, right? Like, have you ever, had news reach your ears and it was both wonderful and disbelieving at the same time because it was just so out of this world, right? That's probably what the disciples felt in spades on this day. So it was something, yeah, like that we could categorize as theology. It's something that the Jews should have known, but it's also something where they didn't have the whole map. They had to chart a new territory again because of what Jesus has done. And I think that that is probably the two experiences that we should have as we go through the Christian life. There should be some things that we experience because people before us have experienced because they followed Jesus, right? Something that's handed down to us. It's a tradition. On the other hand, there's things that fly at us like a projectile. I love the way that John Caputo talks about two different forms of religious information. It's a projection, something that we can anticipate, but it's also a projectile. It's something that flies at us that we have to, we have a reflex. We try to catch it because we weren't quite expecting it at that moment, right? I think it's the same way in a Christian life. It's not all anticipated. It is not all revelation. It's a wonderful blending of both, right? And I think the season of Easter tells us that, right? Because we've heard these stories before, right? Haven't you? If you've been around long enough, you've heard these stories and you marvel once again at all the detail of some of these post-resurrection accounts. But then you go through life and you offer up prayers and you sing songs and you serve Jesus and you serve the world and you, try to bear witness to Jesus, and new things that are so wonderful are told to us and we learn fresh and new, right? And I think that's what the Christian mystics would say, is that we are born again, sure, but we're also born again and born again and born again and born again. Always being born again, because new stuff flies at us as a projectile of faith in our life. And just like the disciples, we have to kind of redraw the map because now we've got something new to include, right? Or maybe something old that we need to discard, right? And make room for the new thing, right? This is what Easter does to us. It causes us to celebrate. It causes us to remember and also causes us to wonder, right? So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you this day that our faith life will continue to change. We thank you that it changed so profoundly the first time we heard the good news of Jesus' resurrection and of your forgiveness and merciful economy that allows us to be in the people of God. And we thank you that as we continue to journey with you, continue to read, pray, study, serve, and to be among the people of God, our minds are opened again and again. We're born again, again and again. And so we ask that you would once again impress your love upon our lives, that we would have our eyes open to something brand new. We'd also have our minds reminded of the things that we've known before and heard before, and allow them to be stunning revelations to us once more. We think that the resurrection expands our imagination and it causes our life to be comprehensively transformed because of your goodness and love for us. And so God, this day, as we come to the empty tomb and as we see the risen Jesus very present in our lives, we do pray that we would be transformed and that we become more like you so that we can share your life even more at a greater depth. ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.